Okay, I would like to introduce Catherine, who could say a few words about her piece.
And be happy.
My piece is about Joel Benson, who is the MP for Chesterfield for a typical of 20 years. He got to put 4 million in the MP in the Manchester. And he was first accepted by pre-emption of the Manchester Executive and was granted extension from the
Manchester. Oh, could you sneak up a bit, please?
Joel Benson, when he first applied for extension, he was granted extension from combatant service, meaning that he would be called up but not trained to bear arms. He killed the enemy sergeant, but the appeal was dismissed. He then requested alternative service as a civilian, not under military control. His request was refused, he appealed again, the appeal was again dismissed, and then, without warning, his certificate for exemption from combatant service was withdrawn. He was arrested and forced to train as a soldier. However, he refused to follow orders during his training, and so was beaten and tortured. I wrote this piece about the hardships he endured, based on his own account. He is in two voices, one of the soldiers made to give him orders, and the other his private officer who made orders.
Carry a rifle!
He said no. I sighed. Another man was watching. I had it around his neck. It's heavy and uncomfortable. You'll have to carry it soon, I said.
Falling!
Again, he repeated. New recruits stare at him. They're wondering if he doesn't understand the order. He understands just fine. So he thinks if he follows his warm, simple command now, it will be harder for him to come. I shut him into decision. He doesn't realise how much harder this thing gets.
Tension!
He ignores the orders and stares at the ground, feet wide apart, suddenly in disgrace. I keep his feet apart until he's finally coming into decision.
Assies!
Now he's done, he's around the street, staring ahead. A couple of recruits guard the feet of him. That's dangerous. If they keep him away with it, more of them coming into the general body. I hit his feet apart again.
Wait, march!
This is where we break. I shove him along the double, jumping to him back whenever he looks to be flapping. He trips, and by entering that full seat, I discover his mouth. We'll keep this up until he looks at his body.
Right turn!
Maybe we went too far. We are able to make him follow orders. Now, when he has the war to do so, he lacks a friend. He stayed on the spot, very full of pain, and I wonder if he even has heard the order. I support him under the arm and help him to turn.
Carry a rifle!
We hang it round his neck again, both in the winter, to make a breathing chamber. He'll have to take away the system, and then we'll have him. We force him back into the march. We'll give him help and see what he feels like.
It's taken from the conscientious objection memorial in Tavistock Square in London, and I will be going to that.
All over the world, and in every age, decisions will be made. Wars will be started. People will stand up. We will be ridiculed, scorned, ignored. We will lose friends, family, jobs, reputations. Who are the cowards? Not the one surely who risks to lose it all, but do it because it has to be done. These corners of resistance are our strongest humanity. Compassion in action, love out loud and furious. All over the world and in every age, we will be trodden down, dismissed, abused, and we will carry on. Whispering the names of those before us, repeating our own names again and again, knowing there'll be more. From then to now, to that space at particular times when the need to resist continues, we take our place in an unbreakable web of solidarity with all of those who resist the call to war. From Israel to South Korea, from Syria to Indonesia, from Switzerland to Libya. Our fight will not be won one day out there. It is won right now. It is won every time we refuse to live the reality they demand. It is won every time we stand together, rewriting history. It is won.